Hey folks, my name is Tim. Welcome to The Table, the podcast edition. The Table is a community that exists to make room to explore what we believe. What you're about to hear is the podcast edit of something that we do together in person. We just call it the Talky Bit. We're sharing it with you in the hope that it can be a positive contribution and a catalyst for your own exploration, or perhaps something that you share with somebody else you know is exploring what they believe to support and encourage them. In our experience, exploring what you believe can be hard work, exciting, encouraging, but also challenging. And we don't think that anyone should have to do that alone. On a perhaps more personal note, I don't believe that we do it best alone. I think we do it best together with others. We're able to do this work because of the generous support of donors both within and beyond the local community. If you want to contribute to keeping it going, you can find information about how to do that at thetablewinnipeg.com under the Giving tab. Thanks for dropping by. Welcome to the Talky Bit. So we're in this series exploring how we construct systems of belief. And last work we did a little bit of a review, and then we watched a short film called The Raisin, which I can, you know, happily recommend to anyone who hasn't seen it, if you're watching this online or listening to the podcast. And then we used that film to spend a little bit of time considering, imagining really, in a lot of ways, what the core assumptions of the two main characters might have been. And that's sort of how far we went with that last week. So what I want to do this week is I want to start in a similar place, and then I want to dig down into the first piece of the system a little bit, core assumptions. And we're just going to kind of get started on digging down into that. There's lots there. But review first. And we won't spend a bunch of time here. I'll just zip through these. So we talked about core assumptions. We defined those at that point, and we'll expand this definition today, but we defined it at that point as the foundational premises that we accept as absolute truths, and we talked about the problem of absolute, and that's in particular a part of that definition that we're going to expand on today. And then we talked about values and morals as the second piece of that, and we talked about our values as our moral compasses derived from the truths of our core assumptions. So again, we're just sort of this way the whole system works in this model is we just extrapolate one piece from the next. We just kind of keep pulling the pieces out. And then the third piece we talked about was narratives and myths. And we defined those as the frameworks that connect our core assumptions to history and purpose. So they tie our present tense story to stories of the past. And they say, you're here in this story that operates this way over time to do this. This is your reason for being in this story. This is the way it works. This is your purpose. And it helps us understand where we came from and where we're going. Both really important aspects of human experience. Arguably, the fact that some of these questions feel like they're hard for emerging generations to answer right now is one of the ways of explaining some of the malaise, some of the difficulties that we see. And then we talked about ritual and practice. And I wanted to make the point then, and I want to reinforce it now, that although ritual sounds a little bit arcane or kind of not ordinary, rituals really are very ordinary human practices. We all have them, and we all do them. We don't just always call them that, but we've got them and they matter. Tangible actions, habits, more ordinary word, or ceremonies that reinforce our beliefs. And in this framework, the reinforcement part is an important aspect of that. And then finally, we talked about social and institutional frameworks. And what we said mattered to us in this context there was that these are, although they're shared communities, texts, authority figures, in this context, the thing that keeps them in the system is that those things, those communities, texts, and authority figures are there in the system to validate and propagate the belief system. An interesting idea in itself, and one that I think needs to be challenged, and sometimes it is. But we know when there's a text or an authority figure or a community structure in or adjacent to dominant structures that challenges it. Because right away, that starts to get confusing for people. It's not the way it usually works. So, I mean, the table is like that. We were with some friends recently on a Sunday afternoon, one of them said, so did you have church this morning? And I said, no, we had the table. And then we talked about that a little bit. Right. But what, like, how do you define something that looks and feels like that, but not quite right. That challenges some aspect of that. And that happens everywhere, not just in the realm of religion, of course, or spiritual gathering or community gathering. So that's basically where we went. What I want to do here is concentrate a bit on that first one this morning on core assumptions. So in the blurb, I said I was going to spend a little bit of time unpacking why we might use the language of assumptions for what we could also call core beliefs. And I've sort of been flip-flopping them a little bit in preparation for what we're going to do this morning. But in the definition we've been using, we've said core assumptions are the foundational premises that we accept as absolute truths. We've talked a little bit about the problem of regarding anything as absolute, and that's where I want to pick up. So I said before that I wanted to leave that word absolute in the definition, even though I think it's problematic in lots of ways. The central reason in this context that I wanted to leave it in is because one of the characteristics of our core beliefs is that they can feel absolutely true. And because they can feel absolutely true, we assume they are the truth, hence core assumptions. And here's where I want us to start to drill down a little bit. We could think about our core assumptions or core beliefs as being like the architects of our daily experience. They don't necessarily make a lot of noise about it, but they do shape how we interpret every interaction, every setback, every opportunity. These beliefs are primarily, some would argue, entirely formed during our childhood. And as we considered last week, they tend to operate beneath our conscious awareness. And their influence is so profound and so far-reaching. And generally speaking, they are difficult to get at. And so it's that kind of curious and sometimes blurred intersection of what we're aware of and what we're not aware of that we encounter the power of our core beliefs. It's like right there where those things intersect. So what I want to do is expand both the definition and our understanding of what core beliefs are. And since we get to choose our metaphors, I'm going to choose dessert, sort of working with the life short, eat dessert first philosophy here. So imagine our thoughts, because that's the realm we're in here. That's how we access what we believe, right? It's how we think about things. Imagine our thoughts as being a little bit like a layer cake. The surface of this cake, the icing, the part that's easiest to see, is what we could call automatic beliefs. Or automatic thoughts, rather, sorry. And automatic thoughts are the instant reactions that pop into our head when something happens, when there's stimulus, when there's an experience that we have. Hence, automatic, right? So let's say we'll take a little workplace example here. Let's say we're at work. We get a message from our manager saying that they want to meet with us. And our automatic thought is, I must be in trouble, all right? Or maybe at this time of the year, we see an envelope in the mail from the CRA, and our automatic thought is, I'm being audited. I owe more taxes. But it's not usually, look, a refund came early, you know. So that's layer one, automatic thoughts. In the middle of this little cake of ours are what we're going to call intermediate beliefs. And these kind of, like with the other model, these bits kind of swim back and forth a little bit, but they're definable as well. So intermediate beliefs are the rules and assumptions that we operate by a little more consciously. They are just a little bit closer to our behavior, right? So if we continue with our example from our work lives, our manager wants to see us, we might have an intermediate belief like, if I make a mistake, people will think I'm incompetent. So we're basically just kind of peeling the onion of what we believe here, to switch metaphors suddenly to a spicier one than our cake, right? So if our first automatic thought is I must be in trouble, our intermediate belief might be something like if I make a mistake, I'm going to be perceived as incompetent. And so we can start to see how these are shaping up to be pretty influential in terms of how we operate in the world, right? And then at the bottom layer, we find our core beliefs, and those are the foundation on which everything else rests. In this little example that we're working our way through here, we might have a core belief that is something like, I'm not good enough. And one of the clues that we're dealing with a core belief or a core assumption is that it's an I am, or the world is, right? It's if it's about us, it's about all of us, our whole self. If it's about the nature of existence or the world, it tends to be about a big bundle of how things are. So in this particular model, the layer cake, the hierarchy, matters. So if I hold a core belief like I'm not good enough or I'm inadequate, that generates rules for living, intermediate beliefs, like I have to work twice as hard as everyone else to prove myself. And then those rules produce automatic thoughts like my boss is looking at me, they must think I'm doing something wrong. That's what pops into our head experientially. And then those thoughts trigger anxiety, and that leads to behaviors like over-preparing or avoiding the kind of tasks that might contain the risk of not going perfectly, and then that reinforces the original belief. So it's a self-reinforcing cycle. Core beliefs are the deepest layer of our thought structure. They are fundamental, absolute, important word here, assumptions. And there's the connection between beliefs and assumptions. But they are fundamental, absolute assumptions that feel like unquestionable truths. And unlike the fleeting thoughts that pass through our minds throughout the day, our core beliefs tend, and these are semi-technical terms, but they are often understood to be rigid and overgeneralized and persistent. They travel with us into a variety of circumstances. They're the lens through which we interpret everything that happens to us. Core beliefs are also, and we've touched on this, but I want to unpack it a little bit, also different from our values. This can get a little murky. Values represent what we consider important, right? We talked about this. Principles like honesty, creativity, family connection. Somebody says, what's important to you? What are your values? We're going to talk about those kind of things. Core beliefs, by contrast, are what we believe to be true about ourselves in the world. And this is where it can get a little tricky as well, because, for example, we might say we value authenticity in ourselves and in others, while simultaneously holding a core belief like, I am unacceptable as I am. So now we have an internal conflict, right? I'm stuck between I value authenticity and I can't be authentic, at least if I want to be accepted. Because my core belief is, if I was my authentic self, I'd be unacceptable, but I value authenticity. So now I've got, among other things, some cognitive dissonance in every situation where I'm trying to figure out how to be me, or if I should be me. Perhaps the most challenging aspect of core beliefs, not like that stuff isn't challenging enough maybe, but if we just kind of try to sum it up, one of the most challenging aspects of core beliefs is that they feel absolutely objectively true. And to go back to our workplace example, when I believe I am incompetent, it doesn't feel like an opinion. It feels like a fact. It feels as solid as gravity. And this complexity is both so common and so confounding that the realm of psychology has a term for it, which I love this one. Subjective certainty. Like, let's just bundle up an oxymoron and call it a technical term, right? Subjective certainty, which I think actually kind of captures the dilemma quite nicely, both the feeling part of it and the way those things tend to operate. And it's that dynamic, subjective certainty, that makes these beliefs particularly powerful and difficult to recognize without deliberate self-examination. And that difficulty is an important aspect of why those beliefs have so much power in our lives. They're just hard to get at. Now, this might feel a little bit, I don't know, daunting, a little bit like maybe we could end up sort of trapped by our own beliefs in a system like this. And there's some good, if perhaps complicated, news about these ideas. And the good news about them actually underlies the reason that the table exists, why we're here at all. One of the most absolutely challenging aspects of core beliefs is that they feel absolutely objectively true. We just said that, right? So when I believe I am incompetent, it doesn't feel like an opinion, it feels like a fact. But here's the important truth. These beliefs are not facts. Even though they feel like undeniable realities, they're not facts. They're beliefs. And among other things, that means if we stand back from them a little bit, we can understand that they are learned interpretations, that they're constructed from our experience. And when we examine how they often get formed in childhood, you know, we'll kind of get at that a little bit more deeply. To some people, that means something sort of staggering and remarkable because it's news, but perhaps it's more familiar to us in this setting. It means that understanding of core beliefs means that our core beliefs can be examined and they can be questioned and they can be changed. And that's why we're here. Like, that's why this community exists, is to make a safe space to do exactly that. One of the reasons why we need to work hard to make the table as safe a place as we can is because this kind of work is, or can be, really disorienting. Core, right? We start poking around in our core beliefs with the understanding that they are not facts, that they are not immutable, that they can change and sometimes should change. They can stop serving us well and need some adjustment. But now we're talking about adjusting our sense of who we are as a self. Now we're talking about adjusting our understanding of how the world works. I remember having a conversation with a friend. We were in high school, college, undergrad, early on, somewhere in there. We're on tour with a choir. And so we're all this time in the bus. And they were from a religious background where you prayed, and if you believed it, things happened, right? It was, if you had enough faith, all-powerful God intervened. God was an interventionist being. God's intervention was pinned to our faithful practice and obedience. And they had a sibling who was dying of cancer, and they all prayed, and their community prayed, and they broadcast it to their wider world, and those people prayed, and people were believing on 11, you know, 100%, and their sibling died. And we're riding on the bus together, and she's telling me this story, and she's like, I thought that's how it worked, but now I'm not so sure. Okay, that's the intersection we're talking about, right? That was a childhood belief. They were nurtured in that environment. That was a core assumption. This is actually how it works. Otherwise, why bother with praying, arguably, other than that it might be a comfort, which is not insignificant, by the way, but that's different than this is how the world works, isn't it? So, for her, she was right in the middle of that crisis. How does this work? What do I believe? Who am I as a believing person around this? Right? That's kind of intersection. So, like I said, it can be a little bit vulnerable. So what I want us to do to kind of end our time together here is I want us to do a little bit of poking around. And we're not going to start by poking around in our own core beliefs. That might be a little too vulnerable to just jump into. We'll just see where we go. But again, we'll put the boat in the water and we can row it where we want together. But what I want us to do is start by trying to come up with some general examples of core beliefs. And I want us to use those three layers. I'll put them back on the screen again from our layer cake of automatic thoughts, intermediate beliefs, and core beliefs. And I want us to just start thinking out loud a little bit, if we can, about how that might function in layers, what those layers might sound and look like. And I started with a workplace example. It could be a workplace example. It could be personal. It could be communal, familial. Context doesn't matter. But I'll put those three layers back up, automatic thoughts, intermediate beliefs, and then let's make up some new examples together. And then we'll go on from there to another exercise. But that's where I'm going to leave it for the podcast, folks. And I'll turn this off because if you're listening to the podcast, what the people in the room signed up for, as if you want to use that kind of language, what we showed up for was the relative safety of community as a place to explore these things, and that doesn't include them being on a podcast that goes out to whoever wants to listen. So thanks for joining us if you joined us by podcast, and we'll see you again soon.